Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you.
Oh, perfect. All right, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. Let me just make sure that doesn't show up in there. All right, I'm going to take a quick break to cut and we'll go. Hey, everybody, it's Winter with the Shift Spotlight. And today we are here with our very special guest. His name is David Price. He is the CEO of the Price Group and can be found at tpglife.com. So welcome to the show, David.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Super glad to have you here today. I've done a lot of research about what you do. But before we get into that, why don't you start out by telling us an interesting fact about you that people may not know?
You know, I do share quite a bit on social media, so I think people know pretty much everything about me. But a newer fact, I just recently took my third speed of aging test, and I was able to slow the rate of aging from 1.29 to 0.88, which I'm very proud of because that took a lot of hard work and discipline.
Wow, that takes a lot of discipline. So what habits do you use to enforce that type of discipline?
Yeah. So, I started working on longevity, maybe like 2 years ago, but, you know, continue to like tweak and do things better. So one important one that I really just started doing is going to sleep at like 8 o'clock, regardless of what else is going on. Right. So I don't think 8 o'clock is any specific about that, but just going to sleep at the same exact time every single night, then your body knows exactly when to go through its sleep stages, and sleep's like super important for longevity and recovery. Another thing is I go to sleep fasted every day. So I think those two things, I take a bunch of supplements and do a bunch of other things, but I think those two things probably really made the most difference.
That's circadian rhythm.
Exactly.
And I think too, that right now there's a lot of discussion going on about CEOs taking better care of themselves, because for so many years they didn't, and they put their business first and they put everything they were trying to achieve first, and it came at a cost. And a lot of the time it's a health cost. So I love this conversation because it's becoming more prevalent. I'm hearing more and more CEOs say, I'm taking time for me, or I'm doing this differently than I guess how it used to be done.
Yeah. I mean, when I started my business, same thing. I, you know, everything that was healthy, I threw out the window because I was focusing on building the business. Yeah. And, you know, once you get the business where it can operate without you, and you know, everything's working great, then you can come back and work on yourself. So that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. Okay. So at a high level, tell us what it is that you do.
Yeah. So I help everyday people start their own virtual insurance agency and basically sell insurance from their home, you know, be their own boss. They plug into our systems. You know, we have a lead system. We have virtual training. We have a virtual call center. And, you know, ultimately, if you look at, you know, most of the people that help do this are just everyday people like servers or housewives, single moms that need extra freedom because, you know, they have a kid and they got to do it by themselves. So working from home and being able to make a schedule around their kid is important to them. So that's what I do. I started doing that in 2018. At first it was, you know, just teaching people how to be insurance agents. But now it's like helping them have some more freedom and teach them how to build a virtual insurance agency from home.
And that's a really interesting concept, because I think most people do that, right? They try to teach them how to be agents, but you're teaching them how to be business owners. So tell us a little bit about your journey to getting into this role and taking this path.
Yeah. So I was in my mid-30s, and, you know, I just came to this realization that I had really big goals when I was a teenager, and, you know, I wanted to live life a certain way, of freedom, basically, is the shortest way to put it. And I realized, like, anything I did up until that point wasn't really a path to that, you know? And I was like, well, you know, if I'm going to figure out something now in my mid-30s is probably the time to do it. Probably sooner than later would be better. And I was looking for a business opportunity that would let me work with who I want, where I want, and just really just have total freedom. And, you know, I was looking at different franchises, different systems, and I was introduced to insurance, and there's a lot of different things you could do with insurance. And there's, you know, some systems where you have to do the cold calling and networking and, you know, set up tables at the mall or the flea market and stuff. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make sure that it was a system that there's already people looking for a product I wanted to sell. And that's how the system worked. And I learned a lot from it, had a lot of success. And last year started my own company. To where, again, we provide everything that that you would need to be successful. The only thing we can't provide is the work, and just had a lot of success. You know, I helped a lot of people build 7 and 8 figure insurance agencies and, you know, have a completely different life, you know, go from, you know, working in retail, you know, in the mall to, you know, being able to make multi 6 figures from home, you know, stuff like that. It's just been a really, great thing to watch and watch the children's lives change. You know, a lot of single moms on our team.
And I think that this is a really good kind of market for a lot of those people that sell MLM products, right? Because, I mean, you always cap out at those MLM products, right? And a lot of the reason why people do them is it's easy for them. They can do it on their own time. But those are all still things that you could do in this type of industry as well, right?
Yeah, I would say we're like MLM on steroids. So MLM is... typically, you know, I've been with a couple of companies in the past, and it's really hard just to make it selling, right? So MLM was really set up where, like, you're part-time, you got a full-time job still, and you recruit a bunch of people that are the same thing. So, like, you're collectively may make some money if you network a bunch of people, but you have to find those people and you have to bother all your friends, families and stuff. And there's no like lead program for it. And people make money from it, you know, I didn't have success with it, you know? And that was why when I was looking at an insurance opportunity, same thing. Like I didn't want to have to find my people. I wanted people to, you know, click something because they're interested in insurance or mail something back to us or do something that says, hey, reach out to me because I'm interested in your product. So that was really interesting. And then same thing on the hiring side, right? So like with MLM, you know, you're asking all your friends and family to, you know, be business partners with you, where for us, it's real simple. We run job ads, we run paid advertisements, you know, so people click this and say, hey, yeah, I want to work with you, right? You know, we interview them like a real interview and we accept them if we think they're a good fit. If we don't, we send them away. But you have a lot of the freedoms, the work from home, the low overhead, the scalability. You know, you could grow a massive team. You know, I have hundreds of agents that sell insurance. So you have a lot of the good things of MLM and some of the things that are more challenging. I won't say bad, but more challenging. We solve those problems.
Awesome. So culture is often the secret sauce. And with hundreds of agents, how have you intentionally shaped and protected culture as you've scaled, especially in challenging or high growth phases?
Yeah, so it's principles over production. That's the name. You know, that's super important to us. And you know, I had some times where we had like really good producers, but they were just a cancer. They're just negative. Maybe they're just pushing people too hard. You know, they're watching too many Wolf of Wall Street movies like that and stuff like that. You know, they either buy or they die and stuff like that. I'm like, no, they don't either buy or die. Like, these are real people. There's somebody's grandma.
Buy or die. You know,
yeah, there's somebody's grandma. So, like, if they don't want your insurance policy, that's cool. Like, that's why we have leads. We have plenty of people to talk to. So, you know, and let those people go, even if they're good producers, even if they made us money. Because overall, like, I'm in this for the long haul, right? You know, I'm playing chess here. I'm not playing checkers. And that's what I do it and I lead by example. So, you know, my other people that manage agencies or newer agents, like they see that. They see that I lead example by that. They see that, you know, I'm super consistent on, you know, I don't play favorites, you know, boys, girls, you know, women, men, we're all the same. Like no one gets special treatment. Everyone, you know, we all got, you know, the same, because to me, I know like when, you know, I was in the military, you know, I worked jobs before. And the one thing I couldn't stand is when people weren't consistent. You know, when there's like this person get away with this or like this person lets me get away with this today. But like tomorrow, like I'm the worst person in the world because I did it. And for me, I'd rather someone just mean to me all the time or nice to me all the time. I don't want to go back and forth. So I try to be the same thing. I try to be consistent. And I try to, you know, just enforce the standards and that everyone expects. And because of that, it duplicates, you know, and we have a culture where like everyone's willing to help each other, which is really cool, even if they're not financially tied. And I think that's probably one of the things I'm most proud of, because usually in a, you know, sales culture, everyone's like, what's in it for me? I ain't helping this person. I don't get paid if I help this person.
I'm not going to tell them my closing secrets. Yeah. But when you have that mindset, you always end up coming up short. And I've been in sales my whole life. So I believe that, like, you know, you give everybody your best stuff, because reality is nobody's going to do it just like you anyways. And, you know, there's plenty of business out there for everybody. You don't have to hold it in tight and, you know, not share your secrets, because, you know, there's plenty out there. If you come with an abundance mindset, that really changes the landscape than a scarcity one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I tell people, don't gatekeep. You know, we had a meeting today, a mastermind meeting on recruiting, on how to hire people. And I tell her, like, you know, if you gatekeep, if you're going to sit there, try to, like, that's not the point of the mastermind. The point of the mastermind is like, you figure something out, we that's working, we try it, we figure out something else to get us further, and then we share that with you. So yeah, super important. But like I said, we do a pretty good job for the amount of people we have and the kind of culture that we have. I think we do a really good job of, you know, just putting people first.
Gotcha. And so within the company, not the 1099s, how many actual employees do you have?
So I have, always changes, I think seven employees right now. But like the majority of everyone's 1099. I have one, two, three VAs, a couple of recruiters, and then I have some like contractors too that, you know, their support, more on like marketing sides and stuff like that. So they're 1099, but they're not agents.
Gotcha. And so, you've got, you know, this kind of wheelhouse of all these varying types of positions that make it all work. So how do you keep employees and 1099s for that matter, motivated and engaged in their work? Money's a factor, yes, but it's not for everybody. So how would you answer that question?
Yeah, you know, I think one thing that people enjoy working with me is that we're always growing, you know, and I think that's super important. You know, my mom was battling with depression and I was like, man, what the heck do I do? Like, she lives in Arizona, I live in Puerto Rico. And I realized, like, you know, times in my life where I've been depressed or down is like, I wasn't growing. I wasn't doing anything. I had no mission.
No purpose.
Exactly. So what I did is we bought a house together and turned it into Airbnb. And like, sure enough, got her out of bed and got her excited about things. So same thing with my, you know, my employees, like we're always growing, trying new things, testing new things, making mistakes. And the one thing I don't ever do is if someone makes a mistake because they made a decision, you know, I let them know, like, that's okay, right? Like, I'd rather people make this, like, I don't want people to be scared to make decisions. I want people to think outside the box and try different things. And if it doesn't work, that's fine. Cause I've tried a zillion things that didn't work. And I think it's super important where, you know, people are so scared to move, you know, especially like one of my VAs, she's always very, very cautious on things, you know, and I find her apologizing. I was, listen, don't be sorry. You're not sorry about anything, you know? And I think people just like to be in that culture where they don't have to, you know, be scared about their job and where they're expanding all the time.
Yeah. It seems like you have like more of a hands-off process when it comes to people, which I think is probably why you've grown so quickly. When CEOs tend to hang on tightly and micromanage and they have their hands in everything, that's where the bottlenecks really start to build up. And that's where the breakdown starts to happen and the employee and the contractor trust starts going away.
Hi, I am Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. After decades of helping companies from pre-revenue startups to Fortune 50 giants, I wanted to create something that every leader could use right now. That's why we built the CEO Navigator. It is a custom GPT that helps you uncover real root causes of business challenges, build a focused 90-day plan, and even expose blind spots across your business that you don't yet see coming. This is not just artificial intelligence. It's built upon decades of proven operator experience, distilled in a tool that you can start using today. To explore further, please go to gcestrategicconsulting.com/CEO-navigator-GPT and see for yourself how it can help you lead with clarity and confidence.
So how did you get there? Because there is no secret out there that CEOs tend to be type A and controlling. So did something happen, or have you always just been kind of chill in that regard?
No, I've been the exact opposite of chill. I'm actually a recovering drug addict. I struggled with drugs about 20 years of my life. And part of that process of like learning to get clean and stay clean was realizing that, you know, I just don't know, you know, and letting go of the ego and realizing that, you know, just because I think something's right doesn't mean it's right. And so like learning that in like my own personal life. So I just like brought that into business. So the same thing, it's like, you know, sometimes people have to figure out things on their own. Sometimes I could be wrong about something, you know, sometimes. So that's super important. And then, you know, I was reading a line in a book. It might have been a book from Warren Buffett, but like, you know, he talked about, you know, his greatest asset or his greatest reason for success is that he doesn't micromanage any of his companies, right? He owns like a zillion companies and zillion people he manages. And he saw one CEO of one of his companies was like, sent him like this report on why he was going to buy some jets. And he's like, why are you sending me this? He's like, your company, if you want to buy the jets, buy them, you know? And like, it made sense because, you know, if you're going to let people, you know, and I think that's another reason why people like working with me is because they have some ownership, right? They're not being, you know, they feel like they own a piece of this. So I think that's important.
Totally. So as you've scaled your business, what challenges have taken you by surprise and how have you handled them?
By surprise, man. You know, I don't know if it's a surprise, but like something I've learned through it, I guess I wasn't ready for. So I guess you could call it a surprise, but it's like, as you grow, things break, right? You know, I remember years ago, you know, we're sending a ton of emails out and then all of a sudden, like my domain got blacklisted and I couldn't send any emails. I couldn't receive any emails. I'm like, what's going on? Like, I don't understand. Like all of a sudden it just doesn't work. You know, but that's what happens when you send too many emails in a short period of time and without warming up your domain and making things look like a natural flow of things where you go from like not sending that many emails to sending a ton of them. And things like that has happened, you know, over the years. You know, it's the bottleneck, right? And the bottleneck of the business. And then you work on fixing that. So that's definitely something that's happened because we've grown really, really fast over the years and continue to grow fast. And then, you know, another thing is just people. But, you know, the one thing I always say about people is that you could always count on them to be human. That's the only thing you count on with a person is for them to be human, right?
I do love that.
Yeah. So it's easy to, you know, when things happen, I just have to remember that, you know, and a lot of times I'm teaching that too, you know, where, you know, maybe an agent got disappointed or somebody spent a lot of time on agent and all of a sudden they want to go work somewhere else. And like, wait a second, dude, I just invested a bunch of time, money in you. And it's just like, that's the name of the game, you know, and just got to look at, you know, talent. You always got to be bringing on new talent because you never know. You never know. You know, your best client can be gone tomorrow, you know? So that's why it's important to never settle and always continue to grow and never, you know, you can get relaxed, but just don't get relaxed and then like get upset when things fall apart, right? Like you have to, you know, have realistic expectations with, you know, your actions and what's going to happen.
Yep. So what are the top things that are impacting your company or industry right now? It can be positive or negative.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously AI is a big talk. You know, there's a lot of people that are scared of AI. I look at it as a benefit, you know, benefit. So, I mean, it's definitely been able to operate with a lot less employees. You know, we're a lot more efficient with the stuff we do. We haven't gotten rid of anyone with AI. You know, some of my VAs were definitely concerned that they're going to get replaced. I was like, no, you're not going to get replaced. You're going to learn how AI and get more done faster. Like that's it. So I think AI is a great asset. You know, I think humans are still super important. I don't foresee me getting rid of anyone. Maybe I won't have to add people, you know, as fast or take some advantages with that. You know, another thing is, you know, we do all our insurance selling on the phone. So the new iPhone update screens calls, which is cool. I love it because I'm stopped getting so many spam calls. Yeah. But again, in our industry, a lot of people are like worried about that. And to me, I look at that as actually that's a positive thing because I know for me, if I'm trying to buy insurance and I click the lead and I'm not getting 1,000 calls all day long, well, now I'm like more open to answering the phone when it rings, right? Because I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to talk to this person. So, you know, it's funny how like people work. It's like people, you know, if you go back to like the days before cell phones, you know, when not everyone had an answer machine, right? And so the phone rang, you like ran across the house and you had to like answer this phone, right? Like,
because you like pick it up while the machine was talking, you know, like, hello, I'm here.
Yeah, but like, but like before the machines or like when everyone didn't have one, before caller ID, so like you didn't know, like if you didn't answer that call, you didn't know who it was. I think you pressed like *67 or something like that to call back or something like that, right? But like you would run across the house and try to pick them up, and then. Then at that time you would like call the phone company and you would get your name taken out of the phone book, right? So people wouldn't be there. Then we switched to like, now we put everything public. We want everyone to know our phone number and who we are, right? And then we're on cell phones and now we're like screening calls. And it's just crazy if you look at civilization, how it changes. So I feel like it's going to have another change now, because if we start screening all these calls, no one's getting phone calls and all of a sudden people are going to want to answer the phone. Because now the phone's not ringing, right? So what happens if the phone doesn't ring? Now people are like, man, no one called me today. They're going to want to talk on the phone more, because that's just how it's been. So I think it's actually going to be better for not our industry as a whole. We have a really strong lead program, so I think we're attracting people that want to buy our products. So I think that's going to be a huge win for us.
I mean, it's funny when somebody rings your doorbell now, you're like, Are you expecting somebody? Give me the camera. Let me see. Who's at the front door?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Like back in the day, you used to open it up. You'd be like, now it's so funny. You know, are you expecting an Amazon package? Like, who's there? But to circle back about the AI. So I have a background in real estate sales. I've done it for a gazillion years. And there was this deal I was putting together last night, as a matter of fact. And they were, the seller was, unsure which offer to take. There was multiple offers on the table. We wrote a letter to the seller, talked about all the wonderful benefits and features. I'm making nicey with the agent. I'm telling her how easy I'm going to make her job. And, you know, you get through the whole thing and you sit there and you go, that's just something AI can't do. And the thing with sales is people do business with people they like. And an AI tool can't work that and work with people that way. The way that a human can. And so those that are worried, I mean, yes, AI is going to replace a lot of things, but they're not ever going to replace sales, in my opinion. They might support sales, they might help sales, but if you leverage AI, your sales will be better than everyone else's, but they can't take that component away from you.
Absolutely. I'm not buying a house without a real estate agent that knows the area, knows the market, and knows that neighborhood. Like, you know, I mean, I'm in the market now to buy an apartment in Puerto Rico, and you know, very, you know, not just a real estate agent, but like a real estate that does luxury real estate that like knows, you know what I mean? Like they like he's been in all these buildings in San Juan. Super important. I'm not gonna, because AI is wrong all the time. I mean,
it is.
It's all wrong all the time. And I saw something with Sam Altman with Tucker Carlson, and I mean, he said it. He said, what it does is just it makes up what it doesn't know. You know, or if you ask it, like basically, I think it's true.
It really does.
Yeah. Well, if you're like, when was David, you know, what year was David Price president? Right. So like the AI would be like, okay, well, he would know David Price president. So it must be one. And then it would just pick a year and it would just, So he called it dream. Like, I think we call it like dreaming or something like that, or daydreaming. And then like, yeah. So I've caught it wrong on a bunch of other things that were you wouldn't know unless you knew the industry. Definitely, you know, AI is going to make things a lot. I mean, it's already making things a lot easier. And I'm sure things will change. But what's actually really cool, too, is, you know, I believe that AI is going to make the human touch more valuable now. Because everyone's going to do so much stuff automated. There's so much just with AI. Like, oh my God, it's a real person. Hold on. So you're really going to bring me out to the house and like show it to me and everything in person, you know, like, oh my God, thank you. Like that's what's going to happen. Like the people that decide to still keep the human touch are going to be the most important ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So in final couple questions here, where do you see yourself investing resources for growth over the next year?
Yeah. So 2026, we want to hire 5,000 agents. We're going to spend $1.5 million to do it. And we will do $50 million in production. So that is the goals. Those are the metrics that we're going to hit. So I wrote those all down. I just shared them with my leadership team. And it's going to be epic when we do it. So that's where the focus is. And excited to accomplish it. Excited to look at the calendar this day next year to be closing out the year, you know, on track to do that goal.
I mean, that's awesome. Big goals. I like it. I like your gumption there.
Thank you.
And if you had to do it over, speaking to a younger self, a less experienced self, what would your advice be?
Yeah, best advice for anyone, really. I mean, younger self for sure, but like anyone that you know, is interested in business, entrepreneurship, really anything. I mean, even in the employee thing is, you know, people are so caught up in the money, right? They want to make money, and I want you to make money too, and stuff like that. But the values and the experience, and you know, when you gain the experience, you learn how to make the money, and no one could take that from you. You know, Warren Buffett, again, you know, mentioned him again, like he offered to work for free when he got out of college for was it something Graham or something, right? He offered to work for free, and he said no, he wouldn't do it, right? Because it to him, he was going to be too much time to train him because he had no experience. Because Warren Buffett understood that, like, you know, working for him would give him the experience he needs to learn how to make money and be, you know, either employable or work for himself. So, you know, if you're starting something, even a job, you know, whatever it is, you know, focus on learning the skills that will then be able to get you the money and lifestyle that you want.
Agreed. I love that. And finally, if somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
Yeah, you can reach out to me on Instagram, David Price Official, Facebook, same thing, David Price Official, LinkedIn, David Price Official. You go to my YouTube channel, David Price Official, learn more about me. And then obviously our website, tpglife.com, fill out the form and you could speak with someone from our team.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you being here today. I think you brought some sage advice.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.